dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. Our first guest, I'm very pleased to say, is a distinguished member of the United States House of Representatives representing the people of Utah. He is, well, a Renaissance man by any measure, having served for some 14 years in the United States Air Force as a command pilot, setting a world record in the B-1 bomber, as a matter of fact, the author of so many books, even he's lost count, something on the order of 20, including most recently Winter Sky. He is a chairman of a subcommittee of the House Intelligence Committee, on which he serves, also on the House Appropriations Committee. He is, in other words, a very important figure in Washington, D.C., Representative Chris Stewart. Thank you very much for joining us again, Congressman. It's good to have you with us.
It's good to be with you. I was with you up to the point where you said I'm a very important person in Washington, and that's when you lost.
It's my line, and I'm sticking to it, sir. Thank you for joining us. Hey, listen, you are a member, of course, of one of the two committees in the Congress that at the moment is conducting this investigation into allegations of Russian influence, operations against our electoral process in 2016, and accusations that the Trump campaign was in some way, shape, or form colluding with the Russians to that end. I know that this is an ongoing investigation, and you're probably limited in what you can say about it, but I would be very keen to hear your thoughts on a couple of things. Maybe we could start with what has been breaking in the past day or two, namely some evidence, which was, I think, first unveiled by your chairman, Devin Nunes, that, in fact, the Obama administration may have been engaged in improper sort of political surveillance against the Trump campaign. And as a result, some information may have been handled improperly, classified information. Could you speak to that?
Yeah. So let me speak more broadly, Frank, if I could, and then it gets to your point. And that is, there's three things that I think we're looking at and we're trying to answer. The first question is, did the Russians directly impact or involve themselves in voter fraud or voter manipulation? And by the way, I was in Moscow last summer. I came back, and I think I even spoke to you and among other media outlets saying, Russia's going to mess with our elections. We just knew that they were, and they did. But was there direct voter manipulation? The answer to that is no. There was no breaking into voter machines. There was no, you know, manipulation of data or databases. And so that's the where we are, and that's good. The second question is a little more difficult to ask, and that is, you know, was there collusion between the Trump administration or any Trump election officials and the Russians? And the answer to that so far is no. And that's not me stating that. Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the committee, has said the same thing. The former director of National Intelligence, General Clapper, said the same thing, as has the FBI director. There is no evidence of collusion between Trump officials and Russian officials, which brings us to the third set of questions, which you started out by asking me, and that is, was there incidental surveillance? Was there unmasking of those private citizens? Were those unmasked names disseminated throughout the government, and were those unmasked names and some of that information leaked? And the answer to all four of those questions is clearly yes. And I think that's where the investigation is going to fill a very important role. And that is, look, a private citizen has an expectation and a right of privacy from any administration. And if that privacy was violated, and if that private information was disseminated for political purposes, we need to understand that. And that's kind of where we are now with the committees and the work that we're undertaking.
Could I just ask you specifically about Susan Rice, based on what we've heard to date? And that is that evidently for a year or so, she was soliciting from the intelligence community documentation actually laid out in spreadsheets of the conversations of individuals associated with the Trump campaign, some of whom apparently she directed be unmasked, as they say. Does this strike you? And again, I'm sure that there's much more information that will come to light before this is all over. But are there indicators in what I've just said and what we've learned so far of improper conduct by Susan Rice that really suggests, this has to be made a focus of the investigation, if not a primary focus of it?
Well, I don't want to say that it should become the focus or the primary focus. I think we've got a lot of questions to answer, and I don't know really that we want to prioritize and say this is more important than another. But this is clearly an important consideration. And by the way, I'm answering this question not based on intelligence information or information I have from sitting on the committee. I'm responding to press reports and what the press is saying about
That's
this.
That's the basis of which I'm asking.
Yeah, but I mean, there is this. Susan Rice, sitting in her position in the National Security Staff at the White House, is a consumer of intelligence. She's not an analyst. She's not a creator. She reads finished documents in order to create policy. She doesn't do investigations. And those decisions about unmasking and dissemination properly should have been made much, much further away from the White House. That should have been done within the agencies. And the fact that someone in the White House is asking for this unmasking, it should be very troubling to people. Yeah.
Well, it is troubling to me, that's for sure, and I think to our audience as well. Congressman, a related point. There is a lot of bellyaching going on at the moment by Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, among others, that the committee is not conducting this investigation in a sufficiently bipartisan manner to warrant its continuation, or at least the continued presiding over it by David Nunes. I just wonder if you might speak to that, and in particular to a question which seems to me really should be part of your investigation, which is the bipartisan character of problems with Russian influence operations. And I'm thinking, for example, not exclusively, but for example, of one that your colleague and our mutual friend Scott Perry has recently spoken about publicly, namely Skolkovo, the creation of a sort of Silicon Valley for the Russians under the auspices of the Obama administration and specifically Hillary Clinton. Should these issues be also part of the investigation, do you think?
Oh, yeah, for sure they should. And I think it's inevitable that we would, move in that direction or at least look at those things. Now, maybe not specifically under the Intelligence Committee, but they need to be examined from and provide answers to the American people. And Scott, as you said, is a friend of mine. He's someone that I trust. He's an Army general. He's someone who carries much stature here. But we'll see where that goes. And I will say this, one of the great things about the Intelligence Committee, which is in many ways the most desirable committee you can be on in Congress. It's very, very competitive to get on that committee. And part of the reason is because we generally try to do our work in a professional and bipartisan manner. And part of the reason we're able to do that is we don't do it in front of the cameras. We don't do it for publicity or to make ourselves known or famous. And we've lost some of that, and it discourages some of us when we see that happening, especially when we see members of the committee come out and stake positions which just simply aren't supported by what we're hearing in closed-door meetings. And for that, to lose that bit of a bipartisan, professional, responsible approach to this is, as I said, a little bit discouraging for some of us, which is why many of us are saying, look, let's just keep our heads down. Let's just do our work. At the end of the day, we'll come back and we'll report to the American people, regardless of what our findings are. And I can promise you that the Republicans on the committee, we're not there to protect the president. We're there to find the truth. But I think part of that is not to accuse people or to cast aspersions on people that just aren't supported by the facts or what we know at this time. And it's just unfortunate, but I think that's been the case And it's been the case too often over the last few weeks.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I personally won't ask you to respond to this, but my own take on this is that's a function in part of the people that Nancy Pelosi has been putting on that committee for some time now, people who may not be bringing to it anything remotely like the national security credentials or, for that matter, professionalism that you do, Congressman Chris Stewart, in spades, but who are on there as partisans or political hacks. That's a real worry to me, too, because I think this is an important committee of the Congress. We're delighted you serve on it, sir, and appreciate very much your time joining us. Come back to us again, if you would, very soon. Dinah West joins us next. We'll talk a bit more about all of this with her straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.